Alvin DeLauro. Give it to me. Around here, that's known as the Deca Yeah. A tremendous Friday to you, yeah. My name is Jim Rome. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. How's everybody feeling? All right, do not lay it up. Make sure you finish. Come strong. Everything is better on a Friday when you come at it hard. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Coming up next segment, Colorado Rockies manager Bud Black. So, I will open things up with my thoughts on what went down last night in sports. Bud Black coming up next segment in the middle of hour number two. The head coach of the Portland Trailblazers, Terry Stotts, coming back in. They force a game seven. So we'll get his thoughts. Sam Amick in the third hour. Alvin's week that was in hour number three. And a whole lot between now and then. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter, please, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The smack-off is in 42 days. Man, do not let this sneak up and bite you in the ass. 42 days. I've got more storylines that I want to hit. If you're not in yet, what are you waiting on? If you are in, do we have to wait until that day before you come back in? So all of that is still ahead. Let me start, since Terry Stotts is coming up next hour, let me get in front of that. I've got the perfect word to describe Nuggets Blazers, Game 6. One word, the perfect word. And that word comes from Seth Curry. More on that in a minute. Let me first set the stage for you. Remember, Denver smashed Portland by 26 in Game 5. They took a 3-2 lead. Portland coming back home, their backs to the wall, their season on the line. Question is, could Dame and CJ get going? Did they have an answer for the Joker and the Anchorman inside? Weird thing about Dame. Dame came into last night's game averaging about 26 per. Almost any other player and any other team would be hyped about that. But you know, Damian Lillard was not. And the way he's been playing, Denver was pumped that they had held him to 26 per game. But you know how that works. You know how it works with Damian. You can only hold this guy down for so long. It's only a matter of time before it's Dame time, whether you like it or not. You know, kind of like father time, tax time, Dame time. It's coming. It's just a matter of when. It's coming for us all. And finally, it arrived last night in the second half. In the third quarter, it was time for Damian Lillard to go logo lizard. And he did so with moments like this.
Cross-court pass for Dame. Dame with a head fake. Defended by Craig. 13 to shoot. Takes a couple of jab steps. Launches a long three and buries it from 30 feet.
Logo Lizard doing that and then doing this.
Dame dribbles again. Top of the key. Another long three and another make. Dame time coming early tonight. And the Blazers lead by 5, 83-78. Lillard has 28.
Blazers radio. Hey, listen, those shots are only worth 3 points, but if we're being real, they're worth more. Especially when they're chased by the opponent calling a timeout. That's what he wants. That's what Damian Lillard lives for.
Because I know how it feels being on the other side. You know, the visiting team, when the crowd is going crazy and you got to call a timeout, it's like, you got to regroup. You know, you got to go in the huddle and have these conversations. So I guess that is true. You know, I look for those moments.
Quote, I guess that is true. I look for those moments. So he had 17. That was 32 in the third quarter. He was 2-for-2 from 30 feet for the game. An elimination game, of course, is the perfect time for Dame time. Point that I want to make, though, it was not only about Lillard. There was Rodney Hood coming off the bench, coming up huge with 25. He had it all working. Spot-up jumpers, getting to the bucket, Euro-stepping dudes into oblivion.
Turner dribbles to the low post, loses the ball, but picks it back up, double-teamed out to Rodney Hood. Down to the free throw line, ducks through, switches up with the left hand and in! Oh, what a move from Rodney Hood, gets the finger roll in the two.
He was unbelievable last night. He was not the only one. Zach Collins blocking one shot after another. How much better is that guy now? CJ doing what CJ does. Only problem, Denver kept doing what they do. They didn't roll over, and they kept coming. They kept coming like you knew they would, which is why this series is so good and why it's so tight and why we're going back for a game seven after Portland won. Which brings me back to how I started. the perfect word to describe a series. The perfect word to describe that game. The perfect word to describe what the series has turned into going back to Denver. And it all came from this incident in the fourth quarter.
Jokic runs into Zach Collins, an offensive foul. That's his fifth. And now Will Barton and Seth Curry getting into it. And Barton puts his face into Seth Curry's. Might be some puncher's throw. I think I saw a fist. Will Barton and Torrey Craig were right in the middle of that. Now Evan Turner gets into it with Jamal Murray. David Vanderpool comes off the bench, as does Jim Moran. And for the third time in this series, we've seen a scuffle. That was definitely the one that was taken the furthest.
You think you saw a punch? I thought I saw an eye gouge. So what happened was the Joker was driving to the basket. Collins slides over to draw the charge. As Collins hit the deck, as anybody would when the Joker collided with him. And it took Collins into Denver's Will Barton a little bit. Seth Curry goes over to help his teammate up and gives Barton a little bit of a nudge in the process. And Barton wasn't having any of that. That Curry nudge was met with a Barton shove. Curry took a step back, probably surprised that somebody took any exception to him trying to help up his own teammate. Then both guys start walking towards each other, and then it's on. And by it's on, what I really mean is it's in, as in Barton's finger went into Curry's eye. And at that point, it was only the fact that Curry was being held back by his teammates that prevented it from being an even bigger incident. You don't put your finger in another dude's eye and not expect there to be consequences or repercussions. Four tees were handed out, but to me, the finest moment of the incident came after the game when Curry described the incident and the game and the series. He went instant legend with this quote. Seth Curry said, quote, "He waited for a few people to get in between us. And when a few people were in between us, he put his finger in my eye." You know what I'm saying? I can't allow people to put their fingers in my eye, end quote. That's the first part, and it's awesome. Like, he's calling out Barton for being a fake tough guy by waiting for people to get in between them before he started doing anything. And then he dropped this, quote, "I can't allow people to put their fingers in my eye." You know, like, yo, Barton, yo, man, you know I have a strict no fingers in my eye policy. Hey, man, read the sign. I don't make the rules. I only enforce them. But that wasn't even the best part. The best part was this part. Go ahead and roll it.
It's real sassy, you know what I'm saying? Like, they got a few sassy dudes over there, front runners.
Don't act like that's not amazing. Quote, "That's real sassy. They got a few sassy dudes over there, front runners." This guy's like, damn, man. Those dudes? What do I think of those dudes? They're sassy.
Sassy.
I'm not sure I've ever heard an NBAer. Hell, I'm not sure I've ever heard a professional athlete of any sort crack some other professional athlete for being, quote, sassy.
Sassy.
But my guy did it twice. Man, they got a few sassy dudes over there. And not just sassy dudes, sassy front runners.
Sassy.
What a legendary description for this series. Man, let me tell you about this series. You know what this series is? Sassy.
Sassy.
It's a hell of a lot of sass going back and forth between these two teams. And it takes a different breed of cat to go with an eye gouge. You know, a cat with a hell of a lot of sass.
Sassy.
Seriously, when you look at these Nuggets, what's the first thing you think of when you look at the Nuggets? That crew is sassy as hell.
Sassy.
It's not a crew you want to mess with because they will go. They will go and they will sass.
Sassy.
They'll give you the hands and the sass.
Sassy.
These are the kind of guys to say, "Tell me how my sass tastes.
Tell me how my
sass tastes."
And if it sounds like I love that quote, it's because I do. I'm not even sure why I love it so much. Maybe because, I don't know, it's so freaking sassy.
Sassy.
Another reason why Seth Curry does not get the respect or the credit that he deserves. I mean, sure, it can't be easy being both Steph's brother and Dell's son, but damn, my man carries himself. And he deserves more respect than he's getting, considering what he does on both ends of the floor and what he means to the Blazers. And most of all, what he means to the rest of the planet when he brings the sass the way he does.
Sassy.
Because sassy is an incredible word.
Sassy.
It's an amazing quote. So why don't you all get your sass in gear, because we got a game 7. I guess what I'm trying to say to you is gas, grass, and sass. No one rides for free.
Tell me how much
sass
tastes.
And if you're not down, either with a game 7 or this take, you know what that is? That's you having it all sass backwards.
Sass.
Because dudes are going to be looking to open up a can of whoopsass.
Sass.
A can of whoopsass.
Sass.
Damn, this take got sassy.
Sassy.
Bunch of sassy dudes over there. Jamming their fingers in my eye.
Front runners.
Sassy front runners.
It's real sassy.
Tell me how my sass tastes. So sassy.
Tell me how my
sass
tastes.
Gas, grass, sass. Ain't nobody riding for free.
Sass.
1-800-636-8686. Man, give that guy his credit. Give him some credit, for real. It's a sassy take.
You give them some credit.
I hey, Hawk, don't real. You bring your sass in here. Don't you sass me, young man. Get out of here, Hawk. Watch your head. 1-800-636-8686. I love that quote. Philly and Toronto, wild, wild series. I'd even go as far as to say it's a sassy series. That's coming up later on.
Sassy.
Really quickly on Twitter, at Squirrel2. My favorite time is breakfast time, lunchtime, dinner time, and snack time. Yours, Eats in Studio City. Same thread. Again, my favorite thread, a largely anonymous clone. Not polarizing, not beloved, not hated. I mean, nobody even knew really that much about Beaks in Studio City. And so he showed up in Laguna Beach with some other clones and took a rather innocuous picture. He just posed, and now it's a thing. Now it's a thread. Now they're killing this anonymous guy for being fat. Eats in Studio City. Saw somebody last night, somebody we do business with, a friend and just one of our vendors, one of our friends, and she's just going on. She's like, man, your people, man, they are mean. They are mean. I'm like, they are. They're really mean. To me, to Eats in Studio City, to Hawk, to Eisenhower over there, to all of us. They're mean, man. Ed Wells in the 360, he's Batman.
I'm Batman.
I mean, they glossed Keith Arnold pepperoni nipples. I mean, clones are mean. Wells in the 360 tweets, Portland forced their series to go 7 games. Big deal. I forced chefs to make my appetizers go 7 courses. Signed, Eats in Sourdough Gravy. See, they turned Beaks in Studio City into Eats in Sourdough Gravy. Other topics today, very quickly before I go to Bud Black. There is a Laker fan protest today. Drew in West LA is on that. Dear Jim, Laker fans are protesting outside of Staples. Online petitions wanted none of that. The billboard begging Dwight Howard to stay thinks that won't have any impact. That is a huge waste of time. Drew, you and I finally agree on something. And finally, Jimmy, I will be calling in shortly to report live about me and the other losers. Laker fans protesting outside of Staples. Signed, Matt in L.A. John in Huntington Beach wore Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube taking over the Lakers. When we come back, Bud Black, Rockies manager, joins us. Terry Stotts next hour. Fellas, never a good look when you untuck a long, bulky dress shirt. Like, you may think that makes you look casual, but more than likely, it makes you end up looking like a slob. This is why Untuck It makes shirts that are specifically designed to be worn untucked. A casual shirt that's not too long, it's not too short, it's just right. Shirts designed so well that GQ calls them perfection. Untuck It shirts are a go-to for any occasion, from casual to dressy. Not only do they look good, they feel amazing. I know, I wear them, I love them. Impeccable craftsmanship and attention to detail make Untuck It the only choice for the untucked man. They have more than 50 sizing options, so every guy can find the perfect shirt. Simply log on to untuckit.com, check out all the new arrivals. Use the promo code ROME20, get 20% off your entire first-time purchase. Also, you can visit Untuck It at one of their over 50 retail locations now nationwide. Stop hiding your shirt with your pants with your shirt, untuckit.com. Your solution to perfecting casual. Again, to get 20% off, use the promo code ROME20. ROME20. Untuckit.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's already a great day. Good, good show. Ralph Quickly. Feels great. If you're on hold, stay there. Plenty of time for your phone calls after this, but this is a priority. We are joined right now by the manager of the Colorado Rockies. He was the 2010 NL Manager of the Year in his third season with the Rockies. Led Colorado to the postseason in each of his first two seasons. First time in club history that that team has been to the postseason in consecutive years. Colorado beat San Francisco yesterday 12-11. They're at home this evening against San Diego. My guest is Rockies manager Bud Black. Bud, it's good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, I'm well. Great to be on, my friend.
Good to have you, Bud. Really appreciate you. Boy, last night was something. You beat the Giants 12-11 yesterday, Bud, in a game that lasted nearly 4 hours, 23 runs, and a little bit of snow. How would you describe the entire experience yesterday at the ballpark?
Well, sort of a throwback classic Coors Field grinder, but my best memory of yesterday was a kid from El Toro High School in Orange County hitting a home run in the snow, Nolan Arenado. That was the smile on his face when he came in was great. But anyway, good game all the way around, obviously, when it ends in a win. But we need to pitch a little better, Jim.
But Black, my guest, I'm going to ask you about that rotation in a minute, Bud, but I'm glad you mentioned the kid from El Toro. Nolan Arenado had a monster game. I'll get to that in a second. But what he said, Bud, afterwards was, quote, the first at bat I was having trouble seeing. Luckily, I was able to barrel that one. It definitely was not fun out there. It was a long game. We wish we didn't have that long of a game in that type of weather, but it was a battle, end quote. So what's that say about your guys, Bud, that they got out to that early lead, San Francisco came back, and they still found a way to get it done?
Well, what I've noticed from this group the last couple of years, extremely resilient, great resolve, tough guys. You know, it starts with Nolan and Story and Blackman, and, you know, LeMayu was a part of that. Desmond, you know, a lot of the, you know, core players that we have are mentally tough guys. And, you know, I think playing in Colorado in altitude, you have to have that. I think it's sort of how these guys are built, which is great, which is a, you know, tribute to our player development system. Our minor league staff, and when these guys get to the big leagues, you know, they're ready. But proud of these guys in a lot of ways. You know, we're off to a slow start, but I suspect that, you know, as the season unfolds, the Rockies will be playing better baseball.
Rockies manager Bud Black back in the jungle. But one more thought about Nolan Arenado. He did reach base 5 times. He homered. It looked like he might have a second homer, but it was ruled foul. You know, every time you and I talk, I ask you if there's anything that he does that surprises you anymore. So let me ask you this instead. What do you know about Arenado that you think baseball fans should know about him in order to appreciate him even more?
Well, you know, I don't know whether I've told you this example, but when I first met Nolan, we went up to UC Irvine. This was the fall of 16, right after I got hired. We met, had lunch, and I told him I was going to come up in January, and we were going to work out. So I went to UC Irvine with Nolan on a couple weeks into the new year, and we're on the baseball diamond. He's taking batting practice with some college guys and a couple minor league players. Afterwards, he wanted to take some ground balls. So I'm thinking he's just going to take a few ground balls middle of January and, you know, be done for the day. But Nolan took ground balls to his left, to his right. He was diving. He was charging slow rollers. It was like a spring training workout in the second week of January. So, you know, his work ethic, both with the bat and with the gloves, is something I think people should know about. When I saw him that first time workout, diving on the UC Irvine campus trying to make plays, that told me a lot about this fella.
That's such a great story, and not at all surprising. Bud Black joining us. You know, Bud, you mentioned that you didn't get off to the start you were looking for when you were 3-12, but then you ripped off 5 straight, and since then, you've gotten 14-8 overall. I mean, rarely is it one thing that changes the course of a season, but what's been the biggest difference between the first 15 games and the last 22 games?
Well, I think we got up to a real slow start offensively, and, you know, that you wouldn't think that would happen with some of our guys. I mean, Nolan, I think, hit his first home run, you know, a few weeks into the season, which was alarming. And, you know, just overall offensively, we were scuffling, and we weren't pitching great either. So You know, that tells me that, you know, we still haven't hit our stride. I mean, Nolan's doing his thing now, but I think as a group collectively, you know, we're not where we need to be offensively. And I think that will happen. But, you know, 3-12 is rough. There's no doubt about it. But I think signs are pointing upwards now.
Bud Black, my guest. Now, Bud, you've been known to break out the Vegemite as a corrective tool during spring training. Did that come out at all during the first 15 games?
You know, I usually try to do that in spring training. There are some, there's some rare moments during the season where I'll do it, but, you know, it's more of a, to your, I love that. It's a correction device, the Vegemite in spring training for, you know, a lot of different, you know, a lot of different things that go on in spring training. Not much usage during the season, but if somebody does something really stupid, I'll break it out.
It is the ultimate corrective tool. All right, so the rotation, yeah. The rotation, Bud, had some issues last year, then turned it around in the second half. So although you're not where you want to be, you've been there before, but you said something recently that I thought was really interesting. You said, quote, when you're not on, there's a skill to not being bad. You sort of hang in there. What do you mean by that, and how do you develop that skill of not being bad and surviving the rough spots?
Yeah, that's you know what the message is if you're not pitching well in a certain game, you're a starting pitcher. There is a skill to be able to work through a game, minimize damage as best you can, and still, you know, get the game into the fifth or sixth inning and not get knocked out in the second or third. There's a skill to that. You know how it's sort of an intangible that I think can be taught if you have the right aptitude and the right makeup to never fold or never melt. And I think our guys are starting to understand that, you know, the Marquezes and the Freelands and the Grays and Sensatella. I mean, these guys are starting to figure out that they might not be, you know, it might not be their best day or their best stuff, but they can still pitch and pick up the bullpen and pick up the team the best they can. So there's something to that, that you watch good pitchers, when they're not on, they can still hang in there and never fold.
We're talking to Bud Black. Now, Bud, when you first took that job in Colorado, the thinking around baseball is it's nearly impossible to have success there, let alone consistent success, because of the altitude. This is nothing new. Everybody talks about this. But you've taken that team to the postseason in back-to-back years for the first time ever. I know you're not going to make it about you, but how much pride is there in that accomplishment, especially since most think that it's just not possible there?
Well, I'm happy for the group. I'm happy for the organization. That's, you know, that, you know, everybody in baseball ops, I think, you know, has a part in this, you know, from player development to scouting. But it's about the players, Jim. You know, I mean, you got to have talent. And I think the last couple of years, you know, we've put together a group that, you know, we think is talented that can contend. And that's, you know, from the other side, before I took this job, you know, watching Arenado, watching Story, Blackman, you know, Carlos Gonzalez, others, I thought that it was a group that could play, especially the position players. I didn't know much about the pitching, but I've been really encouraged by, you know, Freeland's growth, Marquez's growth, Sensatella, John Gray, and that's what it takes. I mean, to win, you have to pitch. You need solid starting pitching. That's the, I think, the heart and soul of the team. And if you don't have that, it's going to be awfully tough. And those guys the last couple of years have done a great job. So, I mean, hats off to, you know, our player development people on the pitching side, these pitchers who have done it. But I do think there's a mindset that, you know, goes with pitching here and coming in and out of altitude that I think our guys have, and we talk about it. You know, we talk about that. And there's no excuses as far as, you know, results. It's about really out-pitching the other team when we play here, because ultimately, at the end of the day, some team's going to win and some team's going to lose. And some team's going to pitch a little better than the other. So I just say, hey, why not it be us?
Colorado playing good baseball right now. They beat San Francisco yesterday. They're back at home this evening to take on the Padres. He is the 2010 NL Manager of the Year, and he's got the Rockies in the postseason 2 years in a row. Good friend of the program, Bud Black, my guest. Buddy, great to run you down. Always good to have you on the show, Bud. Thank you very much.
You got it, Jim. Thanks. Always a pleasure. And hopefully down the line somewhere this year, you'll want to talk about Rocky baseball one more time.
You know it, Bud. You know it. Absolutely. You have my word. Bud Black joining us. I'm always happy to talk Rocky baseball. And again, the best thing about Bud Black, he would not make it about himself. Everybody says this. Bud never panics. Bud never rattles. Bud is always so calm. When they started 3-12, he didn't freak out. He didn't panic. And they're playing much better baseball right now than they were then. They've gone 14-8 since then. So I'm not surprised at all that that's what he does. He steadies the course, keeps that clubhouse steady. So my thanks to Rockies banter, Bud Black, and I'm always down to talk Rocky baseball. We are open, wide open, until the middle of hour number two. Call me right now, 1-800-636-8686. The Toronto-Philly series is wild. I want to get into that, too. A Laker fan protest. Man, that is sorry. That is pathetic. That's coming up. So what happens when you head to the man cave? You want to check out a Game 7. The remote is missing. Oh, wait, there's the DVD remote. There's the streaming remote. Where, though, is the TV remote? It's time for Control Center by Cavo. It is the one universal remote that does it all. Control Center manages all your content, so you can control everything connected to your TV with one easy-to-use, voice-controlled remote. Plus, you can turn on the TV from anywhere with the Cavo mobile app. Setup is easy. You simply plug in your streamer, sound system, cable or satellite, even your game console, and Control Center will handle the rest for you. Make life in that man cave easier with Control Center by Cavo. Shop right now. Save $10 on the Control Center Starter Pack Bundle with a one-year service plan included with the promo code ROAM. $10 off the regular price of $89.95 with promo code ROAM. CAAVO.com. Control Center is available at CAAVO.com and Best Buy service plan required. First 45 days free. See the website for details. Control Center by Cavo. One remote does it all. Let's get.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I need somebody to step up and ask me something I've never heard before, because Friday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Ask me the question right there, and I will answer one of them later on. And remember, you want to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. At Squirrel 2, having a big day on Twitter. Quote, Vegemite, we're there. Signed, Men at Work.
He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. And he said, I come from a land of love.
Vegemite. All right, so I want to get into the Lakers and this so-called fan protest. But before I do that, let's go to the phones. Jeff in Southfield. Now, remember, this guy came in after the smack-off last summer, immediately ripped a golden ticket. I took it away from him after, and then I gave it back to him. Now he's back for more. And with this cat, you never know where he's going. Let's go to Southfield. Jeff, what's going on? How are you?
Thanks for the vine, Jim. I have no comedy today. I just want to remind the clones that Sunday is Mother's Day. Jim, I love my mother dearly. That's why I've already gone to berries.com and ordered her some Sherry's Berries. I've had Sherry's Berries many times, and they are mouth-wateringly delicious. They absolutely burst with freshness. And clones, these are not normal-sized strawberries. They're huge. They're like the beaks in Studio City of strawberries. They're beyond plump. These berries are flat out obese. And the rich chocolate they're dipped in melts in your mouth quicker than Big Daddy Beaks melts down on periscopes. Jim, I'm not saying Big Daddy B Cups is overweight. I'm just saying if Beaks was in the rock band Led Zeppelin, their hit song Stairway to Heaven would be titled Stairway to Difficult. Seriously, Jim, if baseball teams were named after Beaks, the Miami Marlins would be called the Miami Marlin Brandos. Just kidding, Beaks, but I'm not kidding when I say this Sunday, war all you mothers.
Rock him. Jeff in Southfield. Man, that's a weird dude. Weird's good, though, in that case. Stairway to Heaven would be Stairway Too Difficult. See what I meant about Beaks? All this guy ever did was like the show, show up on Twitter on occasion, and participate. But not a guy that a lot of people knew, not one of those guys that was super polarizing, not a guy that the JTP was all over. Just Beaks in Studio City, just one of those guys. And all he did was show up for a clone event in Laguna Beach, stand in, take a photo with like 5 or 6 or 8 other clones. And yeah, maybe he was a little more plump than the guys he posed with. And look at what this has become. Jeff in Southfield just devoted an entire phone call to Beaks. B-Cups in Studio City. Stairway Too Difficult. God. Yeah, like I said, that family friend said, man, your people, they're mean. They are mean. They are. They're mean and they're bored. Well, actually, they're not bored. They're mean and they've got nothing better to do than call each other really fat and slam it into the form of a phone call. Cherry's Berries. Everything he said about Cherry's Berries was right. All right, so to call the Lakers a clown show engulfed in a dumpster fire on the back of a train wreck, I mean, that'd be like an insult to clown shows, dumpster fires, and train wrecks everywhere. And I really don't feel like getting on the wrong side of clown shows and dumpster fires and train wrecks, at least not today. See, the Lakers right now are in a far worse state than any of the disaster cliches that you could tag them with, especially since they shouldn't be. They're the Lakers. Don't they always say that? We're the Lakers. We're the Lakers. Nothing to see here. There's no problems. We're the Lakers. Yeah, they're the Lakers, and they've got LeBron James. So instead of resembling a competent franchise in market number 2 with the best player in the world, they resemble the Knicks. In fact, they're looking up at the Knicks. Just like the Knicks, they've taken a sad and pathetic turn. Specifically, a sad and pathetic turn towards 11th and Figueroa, just outside Staples Center in downtown LA, where today at noon, a fan protest has been scheduled. The protest has been put together or called for by just some dude who I don't even need to get into, really. This dude posted on Reddit yesterday, quote, "We will be holding a protest to garner ESPN media coverage and voice our displeasure of the Lakers front office. Jeannie Buss hates bad PR. She doesn't care about us, but she does care about what the media says. Bring Laker gear, bring your own chairs, and bring water," end quote. Then this guy continued in the post with a list of chants that he's hoping to start at the protest. Three of his ideas include the wildly creative sell the team, fire Rambis, no Jason Kidd. And then somehow the protest jumped from Reddit to the mainstream media, one of the local radio stations here in town. AM 570 ran this guy down and asked him how many people that he expects to be at that rally today. And he responded confidently and proudly, if not arrogantly, with, quote, "We expect 60 to 80 people. You know, I think I speak for every concerned citizen of LA. Man, call the freaking SWAT team. Get the mayor on the blower. Barricade the streets. Strap on tactical gear. Fire up the choppers. Grab the tear gas. Because we got a situation a-brewing. 60 to 80 people in the downtown area of the second biggest city in the country. Look out. Imagine how rattled Jeannie Buss must be, or how rattled she'll be when a group the size of a friends and family only wedding shows up outside of a building that's got like 1 million square feet. Now, if you think that's a bad look for the Lakers, and that it's a reflection of just how far that mighty franchise has fallen, then you're giving this alleged protest way too much credit. There is nothing more goofy. There is nothing more than a goofy little online petition, unfortunately, coming to life. That's what that is. I mean, more clones donated to Ira Craig's book publishing than the expected turnout for the so-called Laker protest. I mean, it's not a bad look for the Lakers. They obviously don't give a damn. It's a bad look for the 60 to 80 idiots who are going to gas a Friday afternoon by chanting, "Fire Rambis." And to who, man? Nobody in particular. The only way to truly change something that you do not like as a paying customer is, wait for it, stop paying. And no one dumb enough to show up for a Friday afternoon get-together outside of Staples is ever going to stop watching the Lakers. Because those are the honkiest of honks. They're the people who care a little too much. You want to know how you protest? You want to know how to protest in this case? You don't. You just stop going. You stop paying. You stop buying gear. And you hope enough other people do it too so you can affect the bottom line to the point where change has to be made. 60 to 80 dopes outside of Staples is the farthest thing from that. That's not changing anything at all. Hey, listen, I understand that it's been a while since anyone in LA has had a reason to congregate over the Lakers. But this is a town used to flipping cars and lighting them on fire during championships, not meeting up on some street corner to shout down Jason Kidd or Kurt Rambis. I mean, come on, man. Have a little self-respect. Too bad Jeannie Buss isn't James Dolan, because Dolan would walk right down from his office and ban every last one of these idiots for life.
For life, life.
Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not saying the Laker fan does not have a reason to be upset. I'm saying that 60 to 80 people protesting on a Friday afternoon is the biggest waste of time I've ever heard of. These idiots are making the LeBron mural vandalizers look smart. Yeah, I really don't think that a couple of dozen dopes standing outside Staples is going to change much of anything at all. Obviously. If having the worst record in basketball for the last six years running didn't change anything, neither will these dopes. The Laker fan protest, I will not be attending. But you know what, though? You losers got some free pub out of me, so you got that going for you, which is nice. Remember, memorize your chants. Sell the team. Fire Rambis. No Jason Kidd. Oh, and bring your water. Bring your own water. You know what? It's kind of cloudy today. You know the kind of clouds where when the sun peeks through, you get your face burned up? Bring a hat. SPF. Also, when you park, make sure you check all the signs and you're parked in the right zone. Listen, man. It's Friday. The same rules on Friday may not apply to everything else. You don't want to get towed during the all-important protest. Remember, fire Rambis, no Jason Kidd, sell the team. You know, maybe bring some Lunchables or a light snack too, all right? Water, light snack, suntan lotion, your three preloaded chants, maybe some almonds. Yeah, I'd bring some almonds. And then, man, when the media shows up, you let it rip. Run to any camera you can find. 1-800-636-8686. Man, I hope the mayor is aware of this. I don't need a riot downtown. Not on Friday. At Table Slam Fam tweets, "Jim, the Lakers protest is a bad look for that fan base. Regards, the Cleveland Browns 0-16 celebration." Running the table backwards is something to celebrate. That's not easy. All right, so second hour looks like this. I've got Terry Stotts coming up at 40 past. Portland forcing a game 7. It was Dame time last night, and he was not the only one. But now you got to go back and do it again. But they've given themselves a chance, and that's all you can ask for. You've got game 6, Golden State, Houston this evening. We'll see how Golden State shows up without Kevin Durant. Rockets have never had a better look at it than they do right now. And they better get more than one shot from James Harden in the last 8 minutes of tonight's game. 60 to 80 people. I mean, Wood Scopes on any given Friday night has got more people showing up. All right, we... just checking out you clones. Hey, anonymous protest organizer. Clone stocks that I have nothing to do with get more people than that. We're expecting 60 people, man. Look out. Telephone calls coming up next. An open phone segment when we return.